My sermon that I have chosen for this Sabbath is entitled, Not Under the Law, but Under Grace. Faith in the Almighty and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is the very first step in the process of salvation. A voice in the wilderness has taught this basic fact for many years. We also teach the necessity of obedience to God's law. We teach the importance of obedience because millions of believers assume that Yahweh's law became obsolete at the Savior's death at Calvary and that there is no longer any need to keep it. Let me remind you, this is a dangerous error. A deadly delusion. The scriptural quotations that I will use on this Sabbath are given to show how important are the commandments of the Most High. Now, the list that I'm going to give you is by no means complete, but from the text that I will give, the honest seeker of truth will soon see that disobedience is a very dangerous pastime. Several New Testament verses are included to show that even at the very close of this dispensation, the true church will be keeping the commandments of God. Millions of Christians idly boast that they are not under the law, but under grace. This state, they incorrectly assume, allows them to break certain commandments of God. An increasing number even go on so far as to justify homosexuality, fornication, adultery, idolatry, and the eating of swine's flesh, actions all forbidden in the Bible. They believe that grace has placed them above the law. Is this what the Bible teaches? Have these believers understood the Bible correctly? Are believers now allowed to break God's commandments? Are homosexuals, adulterers, fornicators, idolaters, and Sabbath breakers sinning? Or do the divine commandments forbidding these things still stand? Well, let's find out. First of all, I would just like to say two words. Take warning. To begin with, let me list a few verses from the Holy Bible which specifically deal with the law of Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I could list many, many more texts, but the sheer number would exhaust the listener. Therefore, I ask you to carefully consider the few that I am now going to list. Yahweh's law is holy, just, and good. To break it, it is sin. Turn with me in the New Testament to Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Obedience attracts divine blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 12. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Disobedience attracts divine punishment. Leviticus chapter 26, beginning in verse 15. Leviticus chapter 26, beginning in verse 15. And if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning og that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Verse 17, and I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Verse 18, and if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Strong words, but true words. We see the results of these few verses in our societies around the globe today. Is that not so? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Remember that the God of Israel in those days is still the God of Israel today. No amount of argument will dismiss that fact. Now turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father. So also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amos chapter 2, verse 4. Amos chapter 2, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Leviticus 5, verse 17. Leviticus 5, verse 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Yahweh's law, the Eternal's law, is the main tool he uses to bring about conversion. Doesn't that make sense? Of course it makes sense. That is the main tool he uses to bring about conversion. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Yahweh's law is eternal. Psalm 111, verse 7. Psalm 111, verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Now turn over into your New Testament to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those words were told to us and to you by Jesus Christ himself. Solomon taught obedience. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. We should all know this by heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, taught obedience. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. And he, Jesus, said unto him, if thou wilt enter into life, eternal life, keep the commandments. The apostles taught obedience. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Now the last day church will be obedient. Are you a part of the last day church? If you are, you will be obedient. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In view of these sobering texts, and I could bombard the listener with more, with scores more, let all who call themselves Christians beware of dismissing the law of the Most High as though it were of little account. On the great day of judgment, there is going to be much weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the main reason will be because millions had treated with impunity the law of the Almighty God. So, do not let some well-meaning but completely mistaken church leader delude you into thinking that you are above the law of the Almighty God. Yahweh's commandments are multi-level. This means that they are applicable on several levels: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. When we examine the Almighty's laws, we find that at their illustrative physical level, many are limited to periods of time we call ages or dispensations. When a dispensation or age expires, then the physical, instructional, ceremonial aspect of certain laws are no longer required or no longer apply. But the moral, high-level lesson to which those laws point continue for all time. That is why the Scriptures teach that all God's commandments are sure, they stand fast forever and ever. You'll find that in Psalm 111, verse 7. In other words, the moral kernel of every divine commandment is eternal. It's everlasting. Let me explain this fact with the help of two examples. Number one, the law concerning phylacteries. Phylacteries are prayer bands, amulets, or small boxes worn on the forehead or arm, containing extracts from Yahweh's law. You can find that in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, chapter 11, verses 13 to 21. Now, at their lower level, the wearing of phylacteries ceased to be obligatory in the gospel dispensation. The apostles didn't wear them. That is why we Christians do not wear phylacteries in this age. But at its high level, this law is eternal. It points to a new covenant procedure when the Most High writes his commandments on the true believer's mind, foreheads, and actions, right arm. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is New Covenant. This is New Testament. This is the book of Hebrews. Why, if the law is done away with, would he write it on the true believer's heart? Number two, the laws concerning animal sacrifices. At their low level, these laws called for the sacrifice of certain animals and birds. For example, bulls, rams, lambs, he-goats, and pigeons, to gain access to and pardon from God. These sacrifices ceased when the Savior shed his life blood for us at Calvary. Though animal sacrifices continued for the Jews as long as the temple stood, at their low level, the sacrificial laws were instructional shadows or types, whereas at their high level, they all point to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who alone is able to cleanse the sinner from guilt and make it possible for him or her to gain access to God. In other words, the low-level instructional requirements of these laws, the sacrifice of animals, no longer applies. But the kernel of the commandment, the high-level spiritual requirement, is still in force. It demands that a sinner who seeks access to the Almighty must approach him with faith in the blood of his Son, the true Lamb of God. This aspect of the sacrificial laws is eternal. It will never cease to be. It means that all through eternity, redeemed believers will approach the throne of the Almighty through the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. Not under law, but under grace. What did the Apostle Paul mean when he wrote that a believer is not under the law, but under grace? Did he mean that a believer was at liberty to sin and break God's law? Well, obviously not. Because elsewhere in his letters, Paul advises believers to obey the law. What, then, did Paul mean? The answer is, he meant that a sinner who repents is no longer under the curse and death penalty of the law, but is under the grace and mercy of God. In other words, being under grace means to be a recipient of the Almighty's mercy. When a repentant sinner seeks mercy and pardon from the Holy One of Israel, the death penalty for sin is lifted from that person, and he or she is placed under mercy, under grace. That person is no longer under the death penalty of the law, but is now under the grace of God. That's what Paul meant. And in addition to this happy state, the Holy Spirit is imparted to believers in order that he or she might live a life of obedience and holiness. In other words, disobedience is no longer allowed to have dominion over that believer, provided, of course, he or she wants to be obedient. That's another story. Paul explains this in the following verses, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Paul says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." A stronger term could not be used. And it's Paul telling us this. God forbid. I repeat, sin is disobedience. It is breaking Yahweh's law. 1 John 3:4. We spoke about that earlier. What Paul is asking here is, shall we sin, disobey God, because we are under his grace? His answer is, God forbid. As I said earlier, a stronger term could hardly be used. In other words, a believer under grace is not above the law. Any solicitor will confirm this fact, that no one is above the law. If anything, a believer being under grace is under greater obligation to obey the law of God than the person who knows nothing about sin and salvation. Now let's do a summary. Yahweh's law is holy, just, and good. Sin is disobedience of God's law. Sin carries the death penalty. And since all of us have sinned, we are all under the death penalty of the law. Once we have accepted forgiveness and mercy, then we are no longer under the death penalty of the law, but are now under grace. But being under grace doesn't mean we are free to sin. God forbid, says Paul. Obedience attracts blessing. Disobedience attracts punishment and cursing. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, Solomon, and all the apostles taught obedience. Yahweh's law is perfect and an important tool in the conversion of souls. The last day church will be obedient. Yahweh's commandments are multi-level, and though some low-level requirements, such as animal sacrifices, no longer apply, at their high level, every commandment of the Most High is eternal. Being under grace means to be a recipient of the Almighty's mercy. Being under grace is no excuse for continuing in sin. No one, I repeat, no one is above the law. And those of you who ignore these facts do so at your peril. Amen.